Good March morning and welcome to the Prepare Podcast. Today, I'm excited to welcome Captain Catherine Clausel, who is the Social Justice and Urban Mission Secretary for the Salvation Army USA Central Territory. Captain Clausel works with both youth and adults, advocating on their behalf to bring reconciliation, unity, and awareness of the cultural and social issues facing our church today. She is also heavily involved in the City of Chicago, partnering with neighboring organizations, rubbing shoulders with various city groups, and developing strong and positive relationships with our community neighbors. Catherine has a passion for people and for serving the Lord through the Salvation Army. She is an accomplished speaker and writer, well-read and current on the issues of today. It's a privilege to know her, and I hope this episode will define what social justice is. I hope that it will shed light on the issues facing our church today, and I hope that it will give us practical ways to get involved and become part of the solution. Welcome, Captain.
Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, we're so glad that you came to join us today as our guest. You are an important member of our Salvation Army team, and you're an officer, you're a pastor, you're a mentor, and an advocate. And I'm excited to talk to you today about the topic of social justice. But before we do that, let's just get to know you a little bit. Let's let our listeners know who you are. So just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, where you grew up, how you're educated, those kinds of things.
Well, I am a Chicagoan. I was born and raised on the south side of Chicago and really feel blessed to have had this opportunity to grow up in a big city, very multicultural, having had the opportunity to go to schools that were racially diverse, and just feel like it has played a significant role in my personal development as well as my professional development.
And you have kids?
I do. I have one son, Christian, and he currently works in Appleton, Wisconsin. And I raised him to be an independent spirit, and that he is. So,
I know Christian, and he is a great young man. So you're a Salvation Army officer. And when did you feel called to serve the Lord through the Salvation Army?
Well, when I was a college student attending Purdue University, I was very active with Campus Crusade for Christ and InterVarsity, but I also was a research geek following different professors doing their research for them. And we happened to get a new professor, and he turned out to be a Salvationist from the Eastern Territory. And I didn't know it at the time, but I was chatting with him about full-time Christian ministry or going on to graduate school, and I was bemoaning the fact that I really was just so study-focused that I didn't take time off to have fun as a college student. And so he recommended that I work at a camp that he spent a lot of time growing up in.
What
told
camp was
me,
that?
And it was Camp Lador in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Yeah. And I boarded a Greyhound bus. And 18 hours later, I landed at a place I'd never been, people I didn't know, and just found such a welcoming place. Mm. And he knew that the Salvation Army was spiritual in nature, was a religious organization, but still, as many people do, think of it as, you know, the thrift store or the bell ringers. Mm-hmm. And it really opened my eyes to how expansive the Army was. That was 1984. Wow. And that happened to be the same summer that there was a youth congress in Macomb, Illinois. And so all these Salvationists like emptied out the camp and left us there to run a kind of a scaled down size. But I think it was there when I first heard the call to officership, because I was really worried about going into full-time Christian ministry with one of the other college-type organizations. You have to raise support money, and I like to eat. And I was like, my family and friends, I'm like, I don't have any money, and so I don't want to be hungry over in Africa, hunting me down and something so I can eat. And I really felt that God said, well, if you really are serious about full-time Christian ministry, the Salvation Army could be that for you. And it was such a positive time. And I had come back from that experience into my senior year of college and with a full expectation of exploring the Salvation Army. There was a corps in Lafayette, Indiana, but landed on college campus again, and just the activities took over, and ultimately I went on to graduate school rather than pursue that. But God never took his hands off of me and this option. And so when I left graduate school prematurely, I was working on my doctorate in clinical child psychology. But I felt kind of, I always have these moments where I have angst and need some change in my life. Yeah. And so I left graduate school having completed all my coursework to get my PhD, but I didn't do my internship or my dissertation. And the goal was to come back and come home and maybe work for a year or two, get some real life experience, because everything for me at that point was very theoretical. Yeah. And turns out, even though I didn't know it at the time, I applied to work for Salvation Army Family Outreach Initiative here in Chicago. And wasn't too long then after beginning my employment and kept putting off going back to school that I ultimately became a soldier at the Chicago Temple Corps. But still was kind of moving around, not settled. But I think after 9/11 was when I really started taking stock of my life. I was doing good work. I was working at Northwestern University School of Psychiatry and working in juvenile justice. But it kept pointing to, I've called you, I've given you these educational experiences, work experiences, life experiences for a purpose, and it's to serve me fully. Not that I wasn't doing good work or even representing him well at my secular workplace, but he called me out from that definitely. And I think 2003, when I entered the training college, was the right time for me.
So who would you say has been the greatest influence in your life?
You know, it may sound a bit cliche, but my grandmother really was. She, you know, they sing the song, I Had a Praying Grandmother. I really did have a praying grandmother over my life. Most people don't know this about me, but when I was born, my mother had complications due to the delivery and wind up passing. And I don't know if it was due to excessive use of alcohol or grief, but my father wasn't able to raise me and my three older brothers. And my grandparents, they stepped up during a time when there really wasn't a formal foster care system, and I'm so grateful for that. And they did what grandparents even today are doing, helping to raise their children's children when tough times happen. And so I can't remember a time when we weren't in church or actively involved. And even when I went through a rebellious stage, my grandmother was always praying for me, and at the latter part of her life, she shared with me that even going away to school and doing things that, you know, I would say, I'm okay, I'm always okay, and she was never quite convinced of that, and so she always continued to pray. And because I often, I think, pushed her away because I felt that my mother died, and ultimately my grandfather developed Parkinson's and died when I was in the fifth grade, and so a lot of early loss. And when that time when I should have been embracing her and holding close to her, I was kind of protecting myself and pushing her away and just keeping some distance there, and just really worried that God was going to take her too. But turns out that she lived to 98 and died just that a few months before I entered the training college. And before she passed, she had said, when I was telling her, I'm going to be a Salvation Army officer, and you might not see me all that much because I'm going to have to move around. She was like, that's okay. She'd say, sister. She called me sister all the time. I now know you're okay. Yeah, so she could go.
Thank goodness for grandparents. Yeah.
And there have been other people along the way. Like I remember, in high school, there was the assistant principal that saw something in me. I was always a bit scrappy for whatever reason as a teenager, and God is using that now in a less violent kind of way or physical kind of way. But she saw something in me, and so she would always, for whatever reason, give me opportunities to go someplace, to do something. And that really helped to, I think, form me and my ideas about the world and people and fighting the right way for the things that matter.
That's great. Okay, so your current appointment, let's talk about that for a minute. First of all, you are the Social Justice and Urban Mission Secretary for the Salvation Army USA Central Territory. So how did you arrive at that position?
I really see it as an act of God, something very providential. Mm. I've always been social service, social action, social justice minded, and really felt becoming a Salvation Army officer would obviously tap into those that aspect of myself and what I feel is truly a calling. But often is the case that we're placed in appointments where there is a need, and perhaps those needs do line with your skill sets and strengths, but may not always speak to your heart's passion. And so while I've appreciated serving in the past as administrator of the Denby Center Children's Home and Corps officer, and then being the Divisional Social Services Secretary, something still was missing for me. And so really sometimes those jobs get embroiled in a lot of paperwork and administration, and I really felt called to be on the ground with people using the scrappiness that God has given me and kind of oppositional, defiant personality and leveraging that for the Lord, for His glory. Yeah. And I had kind of this moment, Christian calls it my existential angst. And I'm like, I know I'm called to be an officer for life, but I cannot continue to do what I'm doing at that time. We were doing a lot to help people, the marginalized folks who are homeless and living without or living with less. But a lot of my job was doing the paperworky end of things and not really in the heat of the battle, so to speak. And I felt like God made me a warrior to be in the heat of the battle. And so I went to my divisional commander. It was probably one of the hardest conversations I had to say, I feel that God has given me a different kind of dream. And so I essentially said to him, I need you to let me go. And then, and he said yes. And so then the next thing was me driving to territorial headquarters and saying, this is what's going through my head and my heart. And I really feel called to do something that's obviously in the area of social action and social justice and being at the ground level of that. At that time, there was not a position or a role called Territorial Social Justice Secretary. But I feel like God and His providence, that part of all of that that led to this point was me stepping out on faith, obeying what was happening in my heart and in my head, and then trusting in Him, and He made it happen. So I truly was surprised when I got my call and was told I was moving, and this is what your new appointment will be. I didn't even know what to say. I was excited and scared at the same time.
Of course. Yeah. So how long have you been here?
Since July 1st. So this is a very, very new role here. In the Central Territory. The other three territories have social justice secretaries.
Okay, so let's get into your job and what you do here, or what you're starting to do here in the Central Territory. But first, let's define what social justice is to you. Now, most people's sense of social justice is pretty generic, right? We Google it and we find a list and maybe a dictionary definition. So let's just define it from your perspective, and then we can get into some specifics.
I would agree that there are a lot of different definitions out there, and social justice is really multifaceted. So for me, it's hard to talk about social justice without talking about injustices that happen in society. We know the Salvation Army is well known for its social services, and so I always look at social service, social action, and social justice as three distinct aspects of a whole in terms of caring for the well-being of others, particularly those who are disadvantaged for whatever reason. For me, in a nutshell, social justice is living right while righting wrongs. It's seeking the well-being of people who are physically, spiritually, socially poor, or having to live with less than what God wants for them, For me, social justice, because I know there are a lot of folks out there who call themselves social justice warriors, mm-hmm. whether they have a alignment with mm-hmm. Christianity or have a biblical perspective of it. But for me, this is really living out what God wants for us as those he has so richly blessed yeah. to be a blessing yeah. to someone else, to see folks that are around in society as he sees them and weeps for them and, yes. and want to come and but yes. feel compelled because of the love of God and what he's shown to us, that we in turn need to show that to others, no matter what the circumstances, finding yeah. a way. So yeah. living right while doing right.
That's beautiful. I love that. I just want to make mention, too, of an article that you wrote for the JAC Online, which is via the Army Barmy. Is that how they say mm-hmm. it? Army Barmy, which I will post to our website because you'll want to read it in full. But you talk about the area of racial reconciliation, which mm-hmm. is a part, mm-hmm. a big part yep. of what you do. But you also go on to talk about how unity and reconciliation is at the core of our Christian faith and practice. It seems so simple, right? It just, yes. it seems so fundamental and just, you know, I think too about women inequality. Mm-hmm. I thought it was so poignant how you mentioned in your chapel service how God is our biggest advocate for women, especially the widows yes. and the orphans. And throughout the Bible, we see God affirming women, loving women, changing laws for them, mm-hmm. as we talked about today. So from a Christian perspective, looking at humanity as the way Jesus did,
yes,
with compassion. And, you know, Jesus was our greatest leader yes. on the front of social justice. And I think if Jesus mm-hmm. were walking amongst us today, I believe that he would be doing exactly what he did
yes.
in the Bible, right. leading with compassion and mm-hmm. love, standing in the gap for those who can't stand for themselves. Yep. But and so just knowing your desire and your approach to your service in social justice in that vein, what areas are you currently mainly focused on right now as far as your what you're mm-hmm. doing for the Salvation Army?
Right. Like we just said a little earlier, I've only been in this role for now about 8 months. And so in many ways, I feel like I'm being asked to fly the plane while I'm building it. But even then, it's still a matter of getting out there. One of the things that have been bothering me about the Salvation Army commitment to social service mm-hmm. is we seem to be absent at the table, yeah. not just discussion, but when something is happening that's clearly against God's desire for man and his people and the ones his heart bleeds for, and we don't show up. Yeah. We're not even there in those spaces anymore mm-hmm. to genuinely come alongside people, not make special effort, but we're there and experiencing yep. the things they're experiencing. And so one of the things I've been trying to do initially is just to bring the Army's presence back into the cities where looking at root cause issues is mm-hmm. is critical.
Yeah.
And so while we are on the one hand giving out, you know, the pantry food bag and helping with electricity yeah. and things that people can't provide for themselves, mm-hmm. but also needing to work on the other end of that equation in terms of what has gotten people to this place where they have to come to us
right.
for help. And I think that God wants us to do that good work of mm-hmm. providing relief,
yes.
but he also wants us to help really bring lift to people.
Yes.
Jesus was about breaking the chains of oppression.
Yes.
And if the chains of oppression sometimes have faces.
Yes, know? They do. And, yeah.
Or are held by faces,
sure.
people. And I think we need to do a little bit more advocacy mm-hmm. on behalf of people mm-hmm. and with them, strengthening people to stand up for themselves and to speak out, encouraging them. And so I've been doing a lot of getting acquainted with our community, getting acquainted with the people who have not left those
yeah.
areas where it's clear people are living on the margin, that crime has been allowed to just go unchecked, and people are feeling hopeless that things will ever change. But I serve a God who is can do amazing things beyond what we can imagine. Yes. And so I know there is hope. And so, and the other thing is recognizing God is already there.
Yes, that's right.
You know, agreeing and cooperating and partnering with Him. He has called us specifically. I think He's raised up the army specifically to do this kind of work. It clearly was part of our early beginnings. And yet we sometimes, I wouldn't say we've gone soft, but sometimes I think in this desire to be sustainable, to survive, that we've made some choices that does not line up with why God raised us up in the first place.
I'm so glad you said that, because I really believe that the Holy Spirit inspired William Booth to see people through Jesus' eyes, and our Salvation Army movement came out of that desire to serve suffering humanity and win souls for Jesus. But like you said, I feel like along the way, we may have strayed a little bit from that original charge. And like you said, sometimes it's about survival as well. But I hope that we haven't sacrificed our mission for that reason. But there are new social justice issues that we face today that weren't in London, England in 1865. So in your perspective, how is the Salvation Army directly involved? How are we winning? What ways are we positive things that we can say?
I think back in 2011, when the Salvation Army leadership took a hard look at how we are doing social services and realized that we were not helping people get out of poverty. And from that wrestling, internal wrestling, sprang Pathway of Hope. For me, Pathway of Hope is a social justice response to the issue of poverty.
And just give us a little definition of what Pathway of Hope is.
Right. So Pathway of Hope is a, I wouldn't even call it a program. It's an initiative to move people from off of that cycle of crisis and need and vulnerability onto becoming self-sustaining and sufficient with supports around them. We all need somebody.
Yeah.
You know, nobody can do it on their own. And through the Pathway of Hope initiative, we have dedicated staff now who work intensively with families. And so they are there to help with some of the immediate crisis needs. But they go deeper than that, and from building a relationship with families, seeking assistance, they're able to look at those root cause issues within a family dynamic and help them hopefully get past and wrestle with those things that have kept them in poverty, and such that with a view toward life can be very different for the child who is growing up in a household that is marked by poverty.
Yeah, it's not just a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
It's not just a quick fix. It's an intentional ministry. It really is.
One of the other things I'm looking at, I realize there's a lot of intersectionality between poor, poverty, and racism and sexism and all the other isms that come together that make it seem impossible to overcome issues and situations. And so through just this one initiative, and we have others, but through Pathway of Hope, because we're coming alongside, we do not discriminate. And so we will work with anyone who comes into our program seeking assistance with what we have to offer. But what we can do, we are willing to do. But sometimes, like, I think as we go deeper into a person's story and their history, that we could see glimmers of where this wasn't just one day you woke up, that plant closed, and now you're struggling to make ends meet, but that things can be systemic in place that ultimately keep people down. And so to have officers and staff who understand this. So a big part of the Social Justice and Urban Mission Center is to educate, train, and equip. And I don't work in isolation. So my job is to work closely with the Social Services Department, with our intercultural department, even women's ministry, which recently moved into the program section. Again, intersectionality between programs and departments, and where we find those common touch points, we could leverage all of our resources and knowledge and skill to make an even bigger impact.
because we're doing women's ministries at the shelters. I like how you've connected us together. Now, right now, your main area of service is downtown Chicago. Mm-hmm. You're getting out there and you're rubbing shoulders with the community and building strong relationships mm-hmm. with those around you, and hopefully keeping those relationships positive so that we can come together mm-hmm. and work for a common goal.
I can't tell you how much I'm chomping at the bit to get into my new building once it's renovated we're able to work out of that and really begin to determine what will be the work products coming out of that space. But the partnership with other folks who are like-minded, who are committed to this kind of work is, I think, critical to the success and sustainability of what we seek to do.
And just to give our listeners a little clue as to where this is right next to Boys Town, is mm-hmm. that correct? Which is also Lakeview East.
And I see this as an opportunity. Yeah. I know that the LGBTQ issue is one in which a number of churches are wrestling with. And the Army, while it hasn't not served people who identify as LGBTQ, we have a reputation, for whatever reason, of not always dealing fairly and lovingly with people who identify in this way. And so I think this gives me an opportunity to show the compassion and love of Christ and of the Army. And so I look at this as an opportunity. I don't think anything happens by chance. Mm-hmm. And the fact that this building with parking space became available, which is rare, I know God will use it for his glory and for the common good of man.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, at our recent young adult retreat with the Salvation Army, you taught a class on social justice. Fierce Conversations is what it was titled, which was very appropriate. But some questions that you asked our class concerning the Salvation Army and social justice. So I would like to know your answer to one of those questions. You were talking about the issues that the Army has been silent on due to their polarizing nature in politics and society. So in your opinion, what issues should we as a Salvation Army organization and a church address in a more intentional way?
Well, I don't know if I'll call it an issue per se, but I think we have stepped back from our advocacy role, particularly legislative advocacy. That wasn't something we shied away from. Yeah. We were quite bold in our early days. Yep. I mean, even petitioning Parliament for issues that we cared about, like the Maiden Tribute of modern Babylon, where the age of consent was raised as a direct result of our advocacy and our work on the street, and so much more. I mean, even around the world with the, what do they call themselves, the Samurai Salvationists who went into the brothels and worked with people who were part of the sex trade industry. Yeah. And we didn't stand, I mean, where we saw wrongs happening, we stood up and we didn't care. We didn't have first in our mind, how is this going to impact us?
Right.
We knew people were hurting, and we're all about the well-being of people, particularly the poor and the marginalized. And legislative advocacy is one of many tactics that we could take. It was a direct scheme of William Booth and Catherine Booth. And I think that there's a place for that today. And while there are other, you know, divisions and individuals within the Salvation Army who take on those roles, who have not allowed themselves to be silenced, but overall, organizationally, I think that, again, we have not come forward and worked toward, for lack of a better word, if we call it influencing policies that we know potentially could hurt the very people we've been serving.
Right.
And to say so, without fear of this is going to have a negative image or impact on my donor and that's going to hurt our income flow or whatever. Again, we serve a loving and very generous God who He has never, ever failed us in terms of meeting our needs financially. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we cut ourselves off from those blessings because we're taking the reins of control and saying we're going to limit what we do here or there because we don't want to offend.
Right.
We were not afraid to offend.
Right.
And so I feel like this role is just perfect for me because I don't mind offending anyone.
Yes, that's amazing.
And I'll suffer the, you know, whatever the consequences will be. Yeah. While at the same time, I want to lift up God's name the best way I can. And by logical extension, the Salvation Army. So I don't want to do anything to harm good name of the Salvation Army. But when we look so protectively at ourselves, our image, you know, our reputation, at the expense of those who are struggling, then there's a problem.
Yeah. And we already have a seat at some of these larger tables.
Yes.
We already do have a voice in our community. The Salvation Army already does have a good reputation.
Yes.
Let's get in there. Mm-hmm. Let's take a stand again and not worry so much about where the money may be coming from or not be coming from, but this is the right thing to do.
Right.
Just like what you were saying before, do right, keep living right while righting wrongs. I loved that. All right, so now let's talk about some practical things for you and me. For me as a soldier, for our listeners, how can we get involved within the Salvation Army, within our community, our churches, our organizations around us? What are some ways that we can get involved in this?
Well, one of the things I've been trying to do at the core where I am soldiering, where I hold my membership, is through, I always believe in studying before acting. So it's always been kind of my mantra to live by, although it is better to do the right than know it, knowledge should precede action. Therefore, each one ought to study what he would accomplish so that the mind may better know what ought to be done of right. And so I am currently leading a social 5-week, it's become more like 10-week, it's a 5-part Bible study, but there's a lot of good conversation happening, so it's taking a little longer to get it through, with a view in mind of, from this Bible study, that people are going to stand up and want to be part of a social justice committee at our core where they are charged with, they'll be my warriors on the street, charged with keeping their finger on the pulse of what's happening around the core, but not everybody lives in the core neighborhood. So in the neighborhoods and where they are living, so we've got men on the ground, soldiers on the ground who can see and relay information back up so that we can mount an effective scheme or strategy to address whatever injustices that we see happening. And we want to be smart about it, you know, having studied the issue, but then there comes a time when it's time to take action.
Yeah.
And so we want to be prepared. And so I feel like preparation is key. One of the things I'm hoping I need to update kind of the executive summary of the concept paper for the Social Justice Center is doing what's called Justice Weeks. And this is intentionally bringing people in initially who have a heart for social justice but don't know where to get started. I'm blessed with a 2-flat building where the office will be on the first floor, and I'll have living space on the second floor and being proximal to the training college where there are, at this time, some available space for short-term residency, bringing people in for some intensive study, pulling together people who are social justice practitioners and urban mission practitioners, then connecting with, I love the fact that I get to build a synergistic relationship with the Metro Division, because that will be in many ways the playground for us and the learning ground for us, where then by day we're doing this intensive study and by night we're actually on the streets doing work, hearing from people, listening. You know, part of what we're doing is not presuming we know what people need and the answers to their problems, but to listen and let the problems, let the answers rise up from them. And so my hope is with the support of the other divisional leaders that maybe initially we send 2 at a time, where I have a group of about 12 that I'm working with. So these Justice Weeks where it's intensive learning, and then with a view toward they going back and they essentially become the social justice champions within those divisions, within the, their core, within that city or community, and grow exponentially, like the way EDS grows this volunteer base, that we'll have a network of thousands of social justice champions all over the territory, and that such that I won't be like the phone is ringing off the hook because we're getting feedback and to ask the important questions, then take action. Sometimes we see and we don't take the time to understand what's happening, and we jump in with our solutions and we do more damage than good. Right. And so the goal is to really follow those steps and it'll make a huge difference in terms of the impact we desire to have in the communities that God has planted us.
So in the meantime, where should I start if I wanted to get involved, like at my core right today? Like after listening to this, I am on fire. I want to go get, I want to get involved. Where would be a good place to start?
I think it is, you have to start with the core officer.
Yeah.
And have a conversation, maybe another fierce conversation about what's uniquely happening in your core community and even spanning out to include, we have people in our core who lives here, here, here. How can we be an impact for the Lord, bringing His will, His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven? So sometimes it's going back to the basics. Why are we even here in the first place? And He's ready to equip us, and He will provide. And so then it's a matter of, okay, isolating the top three issues that can begin to work on. I'm hoping down the road that each corps, much like we have a corps sergeant major, that each corps will have a social justice sergeant who then they can own this and have their groups of people that they count on. And so part of their role would be to continue to educate the congregation and get them inspired and come up with activities. And these are things we can do. Another thing is what I've been doing since I've been back is I've been in learning mode. So I'm going out to a lot of these Facebook invitations to go out to be with the National Association of Multicultural and see and learn from them, and then say, how can I join you in this, be involved in this? And so like most of the stuff I've been going to has been on the south side of Chicago. University of Chicago puts out a lot of training, a lot of teaching that's open to the public. One of the things I've been convicted about is I need to call the officers and say, how about you go to this? Would this be of interest to you? I'm planning to go. Do you think you want to go? Or maybe there's a soldier in your corps who might already be connected to this kind of stuff and would be willing to meet me here, and we go together, so that I'm not just the container of the knowledge, but that it is being shared with other people, because not one person can do it all.
I've said it before, there's safety in numbers. You know, you join together with someone and you can get a lot more done. And two, by going and talking to your corps officer, I feel like that is a great conversation starter. And maybe in some cases, and I'm just going to step on a few toes right now, but maybe it'll be a little wake-up call for what might not be happening in your corps. Like you said, let's get back to the basics of why we're here. Who are we serving? And are we doing that? Are we doing what we are called to do? And if not, how can we do that? So that having that starting conversation is a great place to begin, I think.
And I think we need to look critically at what we're offering in other corps and in communities, like we've traditionally done the food pantry. And, you know, today we look at shopper's choice. We want to deliver our services with greater dignity and respect for those in need. And so we're already looking at and shifting program with this greater knowledge of we want to do things that lift people up and with dignity, and not to, you know, further discourage them. And so I think we all need to look critically at our programs.
Absolutely, because I feel like we are, sometimes we're given a box, and it's like, okay, what can we do within the walls of this box? I think it's time we open up the box and see what that might look like for your community at that time. Because what was working 10 years ago may not be the same what your community needs right now. So that's really good. I like that. Okay. You have a new initiative coming up with young adults. and you're calling it meet me at ... whatever that location may be. You want to just tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I feel like, and we're making great strides in trying to embrace and bring in and provide a space for the young adults of the Salvation Army to have, to give input to what we're doing and be involved in it. And I felt that social justice is one of those areas in which our young adults' heart beats strong for.
Yes, absolutely.
And frankly, I need them just as much as maybe even more so than they really need me. And to have these opportunities where they can speak into and help kind of influence my thinking about issues that impact them, their families, that may not all just be young adult issues. We did one Meet Me At event. It was primarily attended by the cadets because I'm also wanting to help in some way shape and influence the thinking and inspire the cadets. And so we went to the movies. Meet Me at the Movies was the first thing. And Just Mercy had just come out. And I really wanted to, again, when I talk about intersectionality, when we know there is, you know, disproportionate number of African-American and people of color sitting in our prisons and on death row, and that, you know, this is not right. And so this movie, Just Mercy, that features the work of Bryan Stevenson, who fights specifically for people who are, as he understands it, to be innocent and due to lack of sufficient representation, ended up being convicted of a crime, sentenced to death, and now, you know, just waiting out the time. He's going back looking at these cases and fighting for these individuals. So I thought this was a good conversation starter and to share this information to help people become awake to what's going on. Because oftentimes we blame the victim, and there's so much more even involved in the issues where we talk about mass incarceration, like the cash bail system and God called us, you know, Luke 4, he says, this is my purpose. And when he issued and shared what his mission and purpose was, and one of those were to, you know, break the chains of those who are in prison and oppressed. And it's like, what are we doing about that? So we had a great conversation, saw the movie, and then to have a conversation and wrestle with, and then to say, so what you going to do about it?
Right.
What can you in your space at this time, with at your age, do about this to make an impact? And so some great conversations came in as a result of that. And so my hope is that we'll do a Meet Me at Starbucks, the Starbucks Roastery downtown and on Michigan Avenue, where, given that March is Women's History Month, that we will have a robust conversation about sexism, sexism in general, sexism in the Salvation Army, where people are experiencing, what they're seeing, what bothers them about it, and what we're going to do about it.
Yep. In that same vein, General Brian Peddle, our general in the Salvation Army, he has issued this year, actually, 2020, as a year of prayer for women and girls. And if you go to the Salvation Army International website, you can watch a short little video of General Peddle giving this commission to all of us to pray. And it's just a really awesome thing that he has asking for us to pray this entire year. But March really is, this month really is a great time for us to draw attention to that. Just thinking about all the women who have gone before and laid the groundwork for us socially and in the areas of justice, you know.
I feel blessed to be in this role, and I take it seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like the Army in the Central Territory has given me an opportunity to serve the Lord in the way that I think He has uniquely built me and has equipped me, and to be able to have my passion line up with what I do day in and day out. For me, my work day never seems to come to an end because I'm constantly thinking about it, and in a good way. And so I'm just grateful for this opportunity and pray that from this work, we will see a shifting back to just really standing up for those who are the least of these and have been marginalized for whatever reason, that we'll take the time to understand, even if that means taking ourselves out of our comfort area. Because I want to be at the table for the Army.
Yeah.
For so long, we have kind of abdicated our seat.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get that seat back when you have let it go.
Yep.
But people want us.
Oh, yeah.
I keep hearing, I see people brighten up to see that, oh, Salvation Army is here. And they even call me out at these meetings now. And I'm like,
we want to be reputation.
Here. Yep. Yeah. And it adds value to and credibility to what these other groups are doing.
Yep.
And so I want to be careful to represent well.
Well, I think you are. And I'm privileged to know you. I really thank you so much for coming on our podcast today and sharing your heart and sharing your passions. And you can just hear it in your voice.
Thank you.
How you are just on fire for social justice and serving the Lord through this avenue of the Salvation Army. I'm so grateful that you're here and that you're working amongst us. So we'll be praying for you.
Thank you.
And thanks again for joining us today. I just want to give a big thank you to Catherine for joining us today. She has given us a great place to start. She's opened the conversation. She's inspired us to get involved. I'm so grateful that God has called her to the Salvation Army. We need more officers like Captain Catherine Clausel who have a vision for how Jesus saw humanity and getting back to our grassroots within the Salvation Army. If you remember, she mentioned that she wants to empower our own social justice warriors at the core level. But she's leading the way. She is our social justice warrior champion. And I'm privileged to know her and to be on her team. I hope that this podcast is a way of getting the word out and really bring awareness to the issues that we are faced today within our church. It's time we stop talking about it. And it's time we start getting out on our feet and moving and doing something about it. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to go to your core officer or your pastor of your church, or if you're not affiliated with the Salvation Army or any church, you could walk into any Salvation Army building and ask to see the core officer or the pastor and ask how you can get involved as a volunteer. Ask how you can help. Ask them what they're doing within this area of social justice. The point is, we can do something. I hope you're inspired to do that today. You'll want to remember to go to our website, www.uscwomensministries.com. There you will find links to other areas of social justice that the Salvation Army is currently involved in, and also how we're partnering with organizations outside of the Salvation Army on this front. You'll also want to go there and read Catherine's article. The article is called Racial Reconciliation, a Social Issue or Gospel Imperative. There'll be a link posted there as well. So I just want to remind everybody to keep praying. Pray for Captain Catherine and her ministry. Pray for those who are most vulnerable in all of those different areas of social justice. And pray for those who are working, who are the boots on the ground right now, working tirelessly in the fight, in the battlefield, doing the Lord's work from day to day. We are thankful for you, and we are holding up your arms, praying for you. That's all for today. I hope this podcast has left you prepared and equipped for tomorrow, and I pray God's rich blessing upon you today. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.